www.skidrowstudios.com. We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown community. Tune in and check us out.
August 3rd, 2012. We're brought to you by the good folks at LegalZoom.com. Online legal documents. All you got to do is type in Vandals in the referral code box at checkout to save on already low-priced legal documents like wills and trademarks and LLCs, corporations, more. And now the perfect band partnership agreement. Perfect. Your band might suck, but your band partnership agreement is going to be perfect because you can customize it to do exactly what you want it to do. New members, old members, merchandise, who owns the van, how do you kick someone out, all that kind of stuff. All your rights and responsibilities of each band member laid out, black and white. There will be no problems. And this is Showbiz Legal and Professional Advice. We do it every Friday at this time. You got a band, you got a book, you got Hollywood dreams, Hollywood nightmares, anything like that. We talk about website problems. Show's for you. The advice is free, worth every penny. The number to join us, 877-LAW-4777. Call that number 24-7, all week long, too, if you're listening to this on a podcast. Always free, always worth every penny when you get an answer from me. And we get answers. We give answers during the week sometimes, too. Or go to barelylegalradio.com, go to the contact section, put your question in there. Now, also Sunday nights, KTLK 5 to 7, 1150 on your AM dial, we do the same thing. 2 hours of live showbiz legal advice. The Dark Knight Rises shooting victims now have lawyers. And who are they going to sue? Well, some of them are already gearing up to sue the theater chain, Cinemark. Only about a week. They're already suing. James Holmes, the guy who did it, he's been charged with 142 counts of crimes, including first-degree murder. And according to my good friends at the Hollywood Reporter, at least one man right now is already suing the Cinemark Dark Knight, Cinemark Theater, and he's also suing Warner Brothers. Now, what's his theory? His theory is they had a duty of care to provide security for the patrons, and they failed. He's saying that the movie theater chain owners should have had more security. They should have had security posted at each door. Is this what we really want to do? Do we want to sue this theater into oblivion and make movie going even worse? This is a guy who snapped, so we got to be careful. People have a right to sue. People have a right to recover damages that are caused by the fault of another. But the fault of this one is a guy who snapped and shot everybody. Now, do we want to live in a world where there's a security man outside every door and every theater? You wouldn't want to go there. You would say it is oppressive. So you got to be careful with this. And personally, we just can't support people who are suing movie theater chains for things that aren't their fault. That's just the bottom line. If it's not their fault, we don't sue them. He's also suing Warner Brothers, the theory being, you know, the movie's violent, causes violence. That's just not going to work. They have a First Amendment right to make violent films. You go see them at your peril. But there has been a precedent for a theater chain being liable for a lack of security, and it was from a Texas-based case, I believe. It was someone got shot at a 50 Cent movie, Get Rich or Die Trying. Now, the difference between that case, was it Texas or Pennsylvania or something? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyways, that case, the theater chain was found liable because they knew that when they had these 50 Cent, you know, movies that gangs like to go see, you got to step up your security if you're having a big event that's going to attract gang members. That's normal. But when you're going into the low crime area of Aurora, Illinois, and you're just showing a Batman movie, the foreseeability is the factor. Is it foreseeable that someone would come in there with a gun? If it is foreseeable, you have a duty of care. If it's not foreseeable, you have no duty of care. In this case, I think we can all agree, it is not foreseeable that a man is going to come in and start shooting people. So if it is not foreseeable, there is no duty of care. There is no liability. It's just an unfortunate tragedy. But you can sue civilly James Holmes. He's the guy who did it. Does he have any money? Probably not. But people who get shot by criminals usually can't recover anything civilly because people who shoot people usually don't have any money. If you have a lot of money, shooting someone isn't high on your list. Sheltering your money from taxes, oppressive regulation, is high on your list. Not shooting people. So bringing the lawyers into this and making movies worse for the rest of us is just adding more problems and making everything worse when it would be great if people honored these victims by giving them a honorable legacy, praying for them, because everybody who dies needs prayers. They don't need lawsuits. So, a little bit offended here. I don't think these lawsuits will go anywhere. They will just make people uncomfortable and make movie going even worse. Maybe raise the ticket prices if you have to. If people think, oh, I got to hire security, ticket prices are going to go up. Less people are going to be able to go to the movie theaters. Women and minorities hurt the most. So give it a rest, people, with your lawsuits. 877-LAW-4777 is the number to join the Barely Legal Radio program. I'm here every week doing this stuff. 877-LAW-4777. Give me a call and we will answer your showbiz legal advice questions. Christian in Orange County, you're up first on the Barely Legal Radio program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Joe. How's it going, man? Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure. What can I do for you?
You know what? I am also a host of a podcast, and I basically cater to the Latin rock. The name of the podcast is called Talking Rock in Español.
Wait, let's say that. Let's say that again so the gringos can even understand. What is it?
It's a podcast. I am a host of a podcast title.
No, but the title. I just want the title.
It's basically speaking Spanish rock.
Speaking Spanish rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
you're talking about
Spanish
it. Because
rock.
You don't want to. If you play Spanish rock, you might have some legal issues.
Right. So, basically, having a beer with one of the guys, a band member. And I asked him a question. Hey, so why did you guys decide to change your name?
Okay.
And he basically told me, well, there was an issue. We created this band back in Mexico and with somebody else. And that guitar player is no longer with us. So his family member, the family member of the guitar player, decided to copyright the name of the band.
Which is not possible, so that's also interesting.
That's exactly what I told him. I think
so this is just BS. Some guy's talking about stuff he doesn't know anything about.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I told him, it's like, look, man, I don't think you can do that. You can still continue with the name.
Well, you can trademark a name. You can trademark a name.
Exactly.
You can trademark a name. You can't copyright a name. So if he's saying the guy copyrighted a name, we already got some problems. Do you think that he means that he registered a trademark for that name?
No, he didn't. It wasn't a trademark. It was completely a copyright. I mean, he showed me proof of the of copyright, but I go, I don't even think this will stand, dude.
Well, you can't.
I don't think they won't issue this.
The United States Copyright Office issued him a copyright.
That's what he's saying.
But did you see it or you didn't see it?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't see it, Joe.
Oh, you didn't see it.
I did not.
Okay, so
no,
he's just full of it. What do you think his purpose is in perpetrating like this? What's he trying to accomplish?
Well, he basically told them, like, from now on, every profit that you make.
He told who?
The person that supposedly copyrighted that name.
Yeah.
Told the singer.
Okay.
If you continue using the name.
Mm-hmm.
I need 50% of whatever you make from every show.
Or
I will sue you.
Well, why not go further? Why not put his head in a bag of other heads and just pour him out? And this guy's from Mexico, you saying?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that how they do it?
I guess. When I
get
know,
this
man.
Blackmail.
I
mean, okay.
Yeah.
Now, what was the guy who registered the phony copyright? What was his connection with the original band?
He's the brother of the original guitar player.
Okay, so in copyright terms, that's not a connection.
No, that's not a connection at all.
All you can do is, in the copyright world, is copyright creative expressions of your own ideas, things you create. You can register them for protection. If he doesn't create anything, he can't register anything. If he registered something that he didn't create, he committed a fraud. So he's committing fraud against the U.S. government, and federal crime is what he's doing. So he's not very smart. I hope he's lying, because if he's not, then I don't know. He can't do it anyway. So because he's got all his terms mixed up. So he couldn't anyway. Now he could register a trademark of the name of this band as a service mark in the category covering the performance of music. He could do that. He could do that, but in there it would say, "Are you using it? Did you make it up?" And he'd have to say yes to get the trademark. And then again, he'd be lying, and
he'd be
committing a fraudulent trademark application. And now we have another fraud. He's in a lot of trouble for both of these scenarios. And he's a jerk. So the singer, you're in your podcast and you're talking about Spanish rock and you're saying, "Hey, why'd you change your name?" And he tells you the story. I mean, it's kind of pathetic. It makes me think the singer is dumb, right?
In a way, yes. I mean, I didn't want to tell him that.
He's dumb.
It's like I told him that he basically needed, you know, to do a little bit more research and educate himself a little bit more
and find out
what the difference between copyright and trademark are.
And the laws. This is his field, right? Is it a good band that he has? Obviously, you're interviewing them. They're good, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is his field, and he's got some talent, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's able to be pushed around, and lose his rights, just by the first schmuck that comes and says, "Hey, I want your money that you've earned. Instead of you having it, I want to have it." And he's like, "Oh, okay, I guess I'll change my band name because, you know, because I'm a dumb."
So, right. I mean, what's really sad, I mean, it's not like they're making millions of dollars and stuff, you know, or,
yes.
I mean, they're barely making it. I mean, it's just a local band.
I think that guy in Mexico should pick another, like, more successful band that if he wants to steal from, like Bella Nova or Manu Chao or something, you know, maybe get some income out of it. But if you're just stealing... trying to steal money from someone that has no success, he's a dum-dum too. So we got two dum-dums talking to each other, and I'm sorry you had to get involved. But now, and let me ask you a question, because these guys are dum-dums. We don't have to worry about them anymore. And now your podcast, do you play any music on it at all? Or are you just talking?
No, I do not.
Because you're afraid?
I just talk.
Because you're afraid you don't have the rights?
you know what? I don't want to deal with that, really. Yeah. I just want to go ahead and basically have a sit-down conversation.
Right.
I mean, I know in the future I really don't want, like, you know, Sound Exchange or BMI ask. I'm saying, hey, man, you've been playing this music here.
Right.
You know,
right.
Give me something. Well, I really don't want to deal with that.
I'm going to give you some free legal advice because that's what we do here. And it's
great.
It's worth exactly what you paid for it. But legally, and for other people listening who are thinking, like, oh, well, I was thinking of having a podcast, but if I can't have any music, I don't want to do a podcast. You can put music in your podcast, and you're right. Someone will come and say, hey, that's my music. You owe me a license. You have to get a license and you got to pay, or you go to Sound Exchange, which is a organization that distributes money and issues licenses for internet and satellite radio airplay. Yeah, they may come down on you. But if you're doing a show like yours and you're talking about Spanish rock, you are allowed to play portions of the Spanish rock under the fair use doctrine, just the same way picture a news reporter on Channel 9, KCAL News, if they still have that, I don't even know. Okay, so KCAL News goes, hey, there's a really good new Bella Nova song, and everyone loves it. Everyone's doing a crazy dance to it. Here's some video. And then they play a little bit of it. How do they get away with that? Because the fair use doctrine. Because the First Amendment allows us to play copyrighted, to distribute and play someone else's copyrighted material for the purposes of commenting on it. Because you're doing a service to the world. You're saying, I'm going to comment on this new song. And you play, but do you play the whole thing? No, because then other people could download it, and then you'd be kind of competing with Bella Nova because now they can't sell as many because Christian's podcast, it gets downloaded 10,000 times, and those are 10,000 people that don't really need to buy the song from Bella Nova because they already got it from Christian. Now, in that case, you just created damages that are measurable, and you might have to pay them, and you've committed an infringement. There are all kinds of damages. But there is no damage for just playing a little bit of the song for purposes of talking about the song and telling your audience things about it. Or if you're interviewing someone in the band, you fade it up a little bit, you fade it back down. That's the song we're talking about. Let's now go talk about it because this show is about talk. It's not really about music. So I understand why you're afraid of it, but the law is it would allow you to go ahead and do it. But.
Yeah,
but people might come after you anyway. But in the scenario where you're doing, you're promoting these bands, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I think you might want to. I'd consider.
No, absolutely not. I'm actually I'm not afraid at all. You know, I mean, I know. Listening to your show, basically, I learned a lot of things, and also doing my homework. You know, buying all kinds of books. I have. That's why I love your show.
Well, thank you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because your creativity is suffering.
No, right. And
from over concern. You know,
this actually makes us different than all the other media outlets out there because everybody plays. And we just basically sit down and have like a, I don't know, I guess kind of like a, you know, just like a real conversation.
Okay, that's great. That's great. But don't be afraid to fade up the music a little bit and fade it back down if you want to. I got to take a break.
No, okay.
I got to take a break. But just don't be afraid. But if that's a conscious decision you want to do, it's a creative decision. Yeah, and that makes you set different than the other people. You've got that, but I'm just saying for everybody else, the law would allow you to play a little bit of music. Okay, Christian?
Okay. Great.
All right, call back anytime.
And that was good advice. Good advice. Good advice costs nothing and it's worth the price. I sincerely doubt that the world could do without my good advice.
That actually hurt my brain. Joe Escalante continuing with the Barely Legal Radio program. We're going to take a break. My brain gets back to normal. And when we come back, more of your calls on the Barely Legal Radio program. If you want to join the show, 877-LAW-4777, brought to you by the good folks at LegalZoom.com, where we now have the band partnership agreement. If you got a band, like that guy should have had it, you know, you got a band, you get a band partnership agreement. It's only $15 at LegalZoom. You got instructions with it. You got customer support. You can call my show if you get stuck on which paragraphs to choose. Because you're picking and choosing paragraphs that apply to your band, how you want to make it perfect for your band. And also at LegalZoom, of course, you got your trust, your wills, your incorporation, paperwork, LLCs, all kinds of stuff there. Not legal advice. It is self-help services at your specific direction. Type in the word vandals in the referral code box. Check out time to save on more. Save more on most of the documents. Some of them are so cheap, like a $15 band partnership agreement. They're not going to give you a discount on that. LegalZoom.com. I just bought the most amazing bicycle I've ever owned. If you're like me, you see a pretty bicycle and you want to buy it, and you buy it, and then you don't ride it so much. This one I ride every day. Every day since I bought it, I have ridden it. It's so much fun. I bought one for my wife, too. And then I was so impressed, I invited the dealer to be a sponsor right here on the Barely Legal Radio program. I bought my bike from HB Scooters in Huntington Beach on Warner Avenue. HB Scooters specializes in electric bicycles. Yes, that's what I got. I got an electric bicycle. It's made by Pedego. Doesn't look like an electric bike, though. Looks like a beach cruiser. I did a year's worth of research to find out which one I should buy. There's a lot of electric bicycles out there. This one looks the least like an electric bicycle. And I only pedal when I want to pedal. It goes up to 20 miles per hour, and it will travel up to 30 miles on a single charge. HB Scooters has one that will go 30 miles per hour. Ooh, I didn't need that. For me, 20 is perfect. I love the freedom. No registration, no special license, no insurance required on owning a bicycle. And I wear a helmet when? Oh, only when I want to. Yeah, it's like the old days. By the old days, you mean a grown man riding way too fast without a helmet on a beach cruiser. HB Scooters is located at 5960 Warner Avenue in Huntington Beach. They got all kinds of cool scooters there, and none of those creepy wheelchairs that some people call scooters. Tell Dave at HB Scooters that Joe Escalante sent you. Otherwise, how will he know? Tell him you want the Barely Legal deal. Yeah. Check him out on the web, hbscooters.com.
Joe Escalante, he's my lawyer. He don't want money, he does it all for you. And he knows what he's talking about. Oh yes, he knows what it's all about. Joe Escalante, he knows my auntie. He's the business.
Oh, we're back. The Barely Legal Radio program continues. Thank you, Mr. Steve Jones. You know, Steve Jones, still K-Rock. Every Sunday, 7 p.m., Jonesy's Jukebox lives. Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m., Joe Escalante lives on KTLK AM 1150. 2 hours of showbiz legal advice, just like we do here, right here on Indy 103.1. And other selected superstations. 877-LAW-4777 is the number to join the program. That's showbiz legal advice that we do here every Friday. Ad in L.A., you're up next on the Barely Legal Radio program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Super. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Listen, I need to know how to get a letter from someone. When you've done a show for them, you know, you've done a couple great things in your life, and you need the letter to put online, let's say in Facebook or something like that, you put your splash page up, and you hit a button, and it flips up to you. Is it legal for me to write a letter saying how good it is? I know it's probably not, or is it? If you got good reviews from them?
Got to be more specific, because I don't understand yet.
Okay, you have you gave a show, right? You're the guy that's given a show. Did the show for you.
No, what kind of show? What are you talking about? What kind of show?
Oh, musical. It was a musical show.
Okay,
show,
so
I was the headliner.
Okay, so you were an actor in it. You produced it, or you're a band? What?
Yeah, I'm the band.
Okay, so you're a musician.
And I actually did the show. Yes, and I am. I'm the guy up front.
Okay, and you performed at a show.
Okay, yes,
in public. Okay,
and the show was successful.
And it was a successful show. Sold a lot of tickets.
Yes. Yeah, everybody was happy.
Okay, great. Now what? What's the question?
Now I need a letter. How would you approach them? Would you do it verbally? Would you write it on a piece of paper?
Who's the letter going to?
Corporations.
To get more work. To get more work. So you want to let them know that you performed at this event and it went well. This is how it went. to get more corporations should maybe play other corporate events, these kinds of things?
Yeah.
Okay. So that now is this a thing that sold tickets or not?
Yes, it did.
Okay, did it show up in Polestar, the ticket selling?
The Ticketmaster.
Okay, so you got a Ticketmaster number, and there might be a Polestar number. Look at go to Polestar.com. Polstar. And then in Polestar, if this was a semi-legitimate show, it didn't have to be that legitimate, semi-legitimate show, it's going to be listed in there with the gross intake. Like if I play at the House of Blues, they're going to report,
yes,
they're going to report to Polestar, and it's going to say number of tickets sold, gross that came in the door. So, like my band, I play in a band called The Vandals. I can sell out the House of Blues for 1,100 tickets, but I can only charge $20 because my band's not that big. So, you know, you got like a $20,000 gross or $22,000 gross or something like that. And it says that in Polestar, and people go, okay, that's not bad. But you can take a band that would play there, like Carlos Santana might do, you know, five nights there, and it's going to be $60 a ticket. Now, that that gross is going to be $60,000 a night. So these are the numbers people are looking at. Like, how much is your band worth? There it is right in Polestar. So you want to go to Polestar and see if they've put your successful event in there.
Okay, Polestar, P-O-L-S-T-A-R.
Okay, okay, now let's say they didn't. All you're trying to do is communicate to the general public that you got a successful, commercially valuable musical act.
Yes.
Okay. Do you guys have an agent?
No.
Okay, so that's fine too. You don't have to have an agent. You're gonna have a place for them to contact you. I helped a country club down in Orange County put together an event. And then they have like a social club to decide what kind of event it's going to be. And then they decided we're going to have a Spanish guitar, tapas, flamenco, semi-flamenco kind of event. And then they got to go hire these people. Now, how did they hire them? They took suggestions from us, from the committee, and we gave them some suggestions. And then they sent around an email to everybody with YouTube videos of each performer. And then say, here's our choice of the flamenco and Spanish guitar people. And they gave like three or four links to YouTube videos. And they sent it out to everybody on this social committee. And everybody just kind of replied and said, I like number one, number two, number three. That link didn't work. So number three never got hired. It was between number one and number two because everyone could watch those and they had to make a decision. So they picked number two. It was better. That was done. Now, that's like a corporate event. That's how it was hired. And who knew? These musicians probably didn't know how important that YouTube video was. So, do you have any video of your event that you played at? Even crappy video?
Yeah.
Okay, you got a little bit of video.
Yeah, I got a little bit of video. I got the multi-tracks for a lot of stuff that I do. I record everything I do live.
Okay, well then, here's what I would do. Take that multi-track, get a good mix of one of the songs, and where you got some good video of it, and put the video on there, even if it's just like a home camcorder, doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. Put that on there, and then you marry that really good sound that you made from your multi-track recording, and you just put one song on there at least. You can put separate ones on there and a couple of different ones.
Yeah, somebody said put snippets, you know, like 30 seconds or something, 30 seconds, so they can see a style.
Yeah,
right?
if you're varying styles, but I think they're not going to – I think it's just fine to put one song. If you got one song that really brings down the house – put that song, you know, and like, you know, it builds to a climax and the people are going crazy and the crowd is really into it in the end and they're just, you know, standing ovation. That's the one you want to put on there. And you don't have to put snippets. Put the whole song on there. Let people, because you're going to get a lot of views. You're going to get more views if you put the whole song on there because people are going to go either. And now you put that whole song on there and then you send out that link to people and you say, hey, I just want to let you know, or at your website, your Facebook, here's something from our latest thing. And when you're trying to get hired, all you got to do is email a link, and that tells everything about your band, everything about your performance. Now, I know what your next question is. Is this legal?
Yeah.
No.
See, that's...
But it is... Technically, this is a copyright infringement. But this is... It's a gray area. It could be a fair use... of how this is how you're going to get work. There's a lot of arguments. It depends on the artist. If you put a Prince song up there, Prince is very big on having things taken down on YouTube. But very few other artists are, and he probably isn't anymore either. Probably learned his lesson. You're going to put that song on there. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to get a takedown notice, or someone's going to take it down. Or sometimes they just put an ad. They embed an ad without your permission into the thing saying, if you want to buy an iTunes version of this song that you can link to here. And then they're actually happy you put that up there. I wouldn't let that stop you from putting it up there because you're trying to get work. And if you put different, you would have a better argument against a copyright infringement case if you put little snippets of songs. Because then you're satisfying the fair use doctrine requirement that you only use as much of each copyrighted work as you need to make your point. And your point is, we play this song well, and we're very good, and we're very professional, and we're available. So yeah, if you just did 30 seconds and did a couple songs, that would satisfy that. But I really don't think you'd be in much trouble by doing an entire song if you chose to. But it's a little riskier.
It's riskier. So if I, let's say I did a slideshow.
A slideshow, sure.
A slideshow with music or snippets.
Yeah, but the why do a slideshow if you've got video?
Okay, so
but you can do either
cool
one.
All the way.
Either or way, because the copyright issues are with the music and not the video.
Okay.
So if you put that video and it sounds good up there, it's so the chances are so remote that anything negative is going to happen to you, and you're going to have any negative results. You're going to get work, and you video slideshow. It doesn't matter that much, really. I mean, if you think your video is really bad and grainy, but you'd rather put a bunch of pictures, how about this? How about a video that cuts into some slides and goes back into the video and cuts into people, beautiful ladies dancing, and then, still photos, people drinking, because people like to know that. Do people drink? Do they go to the bar? Am I going to sell a lot of alcohol with you guys around? They want to know that, too. There's a lot of things you can do to spice it up, and then that link is going to get you work.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like, I was worried about how I would go about doing it, about getting a letter, but maybe it's better just to show what you've done.
Show what you've done. I mean, a letter, just like it would be very dry, and it would have, okay, we grossed this amount, sold this many tickets, these are the places we played. That should be a part of your Facebook page. You guys have a Facebook page?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but you can put it all on there.
I'll put a button on it. I'll put a button to where they can go to a lookbook with music.
Yeah. But you can put that. You can put a video, a link to a YouTube video will be the best thing that you can do in the short term to get work for this band.
Okay. Yeah, because I did a lot of venues.
Okay.
I've done.
And then you're going to put
Staples Center. I've done a lot of different places.
You're going to put a resume on there of all the.
Brief work.
I mean, there's other things you can do. Like you could get a, you can get more elaborate and get a Tumblr page or pages that are more geared towards musicians that show all your venues you played at. But you don't have to get that crazy right now. Use your Facebook, put the video on there, and have a way to contact you. You're done. Okay, Ad, is that how you say your name, Ad?
Yeah, AD Retro.
AD what?
AD Retro.
AD Retro, love it. All right,
my
AD Retro
covers all the from the 20s all the way to the 70s.
Now, is there a place where people can find your Facebook now? How would people find? Now that people are curious about you, what do they do?
How do you know they're curious?
I know.
Ah, because you're the man. Okay, it's ArtDouglasTheRetroShow.com.
ArtDouglasTheRetroShow.com. All right, Art, I got to go, and thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Everybody makes occasional mistakes, and that was bad.
The Barely Legal Radio program continues. Joe Escalante here. The Vandals, my formerly credible punk band, have a few shows. Why don't I announce them? Because we don't play that much, but. Right now we got a lot. My dog's running around the studio with a squeaky toy. He doesn't think this is important, evidently. Chewy, calm down. First of all, we've got September 8th and 9th. September 8th, the Vandals will play in Montreal at some big festival. Or when I say big festival, I mean a small festival. Then we will play the next night in, or day, at a festival in Halifax, Nova Scotia. That's close to you, isn't it? Halifax, Nova Scotia. I think you can see Greenland from there. With Rise Against, Lagwagon, a bunch of other bands. Really good festival, it looks like. Cool town. And September 28th and 29th, Oahu and Maui. Now, one other one. Oh, November 11th, I believe, the Lake Elsinore Motorsports Complex with the Misfits. Yeah. It's not bad, is it? Not bad at all. 877-LAW-4777 is the number to join the Barely Legal Radio program. Jerry in Venice, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Super. Thanks for calling, Jerry.
Yeah. That's great. You guys are going back out on the road, man.
With the Vandals? Yeah, we got a few shows. It's not exactly a road trip, but it's just, you know, flying here and there. Like, put it this way. We got Nova Scotia and Hawaii in the same month, so...
Dude, that's awesome. That's really awesome. I was going to go out on the road with Louie and HR, man, and Louie called me from Salt Lake City and said,
okay, now wait. Before, this is radio, Jerry. You got to tell people what you're talking about. You're talking about guys from the Venice All-Stars?
Oh, yeah.
That's your band.
Louie from...
Okay, and Suicidal. From Suicidal. Well, yeah,
Venice All-Stars, Suicidal Tendencies, but Louie went out, was doing in support of HR and Norbert from Fishbone and Rocky. Joined them.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways... You know you're taking a risk and you go out with HR, and so
everyone's going to jail,
right? So, but hey, listen, this dude is making this movie about, you know, the whole thing about me bringing the skate park to Venice.
Okay, so yeah, so this is your intellectual property question. You brought the skate park to Venice.
Yeah, and this guy's trying to make a documentary, but he's paying everybody but me, basically.
Oh, like he pays the cameraman, he pays
everybody,
the editor, but since you're the subject of the documentary, he doesn't pay you.
Absolutely. And
that's so normal.
He sent me some contract, and I did take, you know, a friend of a friend kind of deal, and the attorney told me, man, I wouldn't touch this if your life depended on it. So I think it's like in post-production now, and I'm just kind of waiting. And
what's your question?
Kind of what's your advice? Do I, like, just wait till he gets this done and then just, like, drop a suit on him or what?
So he sent you he handed you the agreement, and it probably said, we want to control your life story rights. And then the lawyer said, hey, if you sign this, you're giving up some of your own life story rights. And if you write a book about yourself, he's going to say, hey, well, no, I own your life story rights. So it was too overbroad. And so he advised you not to sign it. So you didn't sign it. And they made the documentary anyway, which it'll probably be fine because you're not going to give up your life story rights. But still, you don't have any damages for him making a movie about you because, you know, everybody knew there was a documentary being made, and it's a journalistic endeavor. He's telling a story, and he used you to tell the story. And it's just like it's not much different from some guy writing a newspaper article about you and then bringing the photographer in to take a picture. The photographer would get paid. That guy who wrote the story would get paid. The people who printed the ink would get paid, but you wouldn't get paid because you're a guy in a story on a newspaper.
All right. Well, kind of answers the question. I don't know if there's, you know, any liabilities there. Like, but he wanted me to just basically, the contract was like, yeah, he could have got the rights to my book and the next.
Yeah. So you don't sign any of that stuff. Let him put out the movie. And then, you know, it'd be great if he gave you some creative approvals over what's in the thing. But even documentary guys don't usually do that. You seldom get any creative input. So the lesson is, if you're going to be in part of a documentary, you got to know that it's going to be a lot of work. You're not going to make any money. But when it comes out, and you won't get you won't get to have any input on. You know, the editing and the final look or feel or content, but you just got to ask yourself, is this going to help me in some other way? Is it going to help me sell books? And I'd say, yeah, probably is.
I kind of just walked on this dude, and then, you know, however it works itself out, it's going to work itself out. He did, you know, dupe me for some pictures and documents and that kind of stuff, and I never signed anything, so I just got to see how it sucks out, I guess.
Yeah, I think you won't be able to prevent him from putting it out, because he's invested his time and his money while you're there. You're in full knowledge that this is a documentary that's going to come out, so you can't really stop him. But at least you didn't sign the thing that said he's going to control your life story, right? So that's good. It's like a Mexican standoff, to use an old racist term, the Mexican standoff, where, you know, you can't stop him, but he can't control you. So there you go.
It just goes out. Hey, man, I wanted to say, I campaigned a little bit for you, man, and then I took off to the Philippines, but I came back and I heard you didn't win the race, but next time around, man.
I didn't win my judge race, but I'm still here doing the radio. So I appreciate your support, Jerry. And everybody, buy Jerry's book. What's the name of your book again?
1978 Crash Memories.
1978 Crash
LA
Memories.
Punk rocker.
All right.
Joe's in it. All right, be cool.
All right, talk to you later, Jerry. Jerry Lewis from the Venice All-Stars, author, lecturer, philanthropist. Always good to hear from him. Joe Escalante, going to take a break. Barely Legal Radio, we'll be back and take more of your calls. I'm going to get into that Fred Willard story a little bit. Poor guy. 877-LAW-4777 if you want to weigh in on that or anything else. Barely Legal Radio. We are back. Joe Escalante here, continuing with the Barely Legal Radio program right here on Indy 103.1. We do this every Friday from 11 to noon. Podcasts you get on iTunes, Stitcher, and 2 hours of live showbiz legal advice also happens on KTLK AM 1150 here in Los Angeles, or you can stream it ktlkam1150.com. Call live. Both shows. Here it's 877-LAW-4777. Fred Willard. Wow. I think more embarrassing than what he was accused of doing and pulled out of this theater on Santa Monica Boulevard about is the conduct of the networks. PBS fires him from a TV show and replaces him with someone else. The supposedly open-minded PBS, and ABC fires him. ABC. This is the home of the controversial series Modern Family, where everyone's so modern and supposed to be so open-minded. And they fire Fred Willard because he's arrested? He hasn't even been convicted? What happened to innocent until proven guilty? Yeah, that's true. It's only for a court of law. It's a good point here that I make to myself. Good point myself. Pat myself on the back. Innocent until proven guilty. That's only in the court. You're allowed to say, I believe you're guilty, and fire someone. You're allowed to do that. But PBS can't give this guy a break until he's convicted? What if it's not true? Modern Family? I mean, what was he doing in there? Okay, he's pleasuring himself in a porno theater. Porno's legal. Personally, I think porno should be illegal. And guess what? My religion says pleasuring yourself is a sin. Yes, your host can't do it, hasn't done it for years. Yeah, it's easy. Actually, try it. But if this is legal and the guy goes into a theater, that's what they do in those theaters. That's all they do. Go to Santa Monica Boulevard. There's a couple of those theaters. People go in there and they do weird stuff. That's what they do. They have guys hired to clean it up. That's what they do. That's how they stay in business. If they're not allowed to do that in there, those businesses go out of business. And maybe they want it. One way to drive them out of business is to go in there and conduct these stings and arrest people, and then no one will go there. So I get that. But either make them illegal or leave people alone. But actually, I just explain to myself why they do it. They want to get it. They want to drive him out of the neighborhood. And his excuse was, I was driving around. This thing says Tiki. If you go to barelylegalradio.com, you'll see a picture of it. Tiki Symposium, X Symposium. He thought it looks kind of exotic. Maybe there's Polynesian music. Maybe there's hula dancers in there or something. So he goes in there and there's not. It's just, the guy's been married like 40 years. Give him a break. So he does. Who knows what he did? We don't know if they're lying. We don't know if they're mistaken. I'm talking about a darkened movie theater. But is it really something to fire the guy for? But ultimately, he'll get fired, and there'll be some time that will go by, and he'll be celebrated when he comes back. Now, granted, his ABC series that they took away, it was something that it's called Trust Us, and they had already shot the episodes. It's a summer replacement series, and it got really low ratings, 1.83 million viewers. That's almost within that's a 0.6 rating, almost within the margin of error of maybe nobody was watching it, you know, depending on how the machines worked that day and the surveys worked. So their ABC is saying they pulled it because of low ratings, but replacing it with more episodes of Wipeout. But when he comes back, his comeback will be big. These people will be embarrassed that they fired him. This is Hollywood, people. Do I approve of it? No. But this is the world you made. Just give him a break. At least wait till he's convicted. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Unbelievable. If this guy was convicted of a murder, everyone would be saying, oh, alleged, alleged, alleged. But what's with this? I don't know. Barely Legal Radio continues. Joe Escalante here, 877-LAW, 4777. Let's go back to the phones. Joey in Long Beach, you're on the air with the Barely Legal Radio program.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you.
Super. Thanks for asking.
You're very welcome. You know, I feel a need, and I've always felt it for a long time, to debunk what people's perceptions of our legal system and our police are. There used to be a perception that because they are in those situations and in those kind of jobs, they're different than the rest of us. They're just human beings. They have jealousies and weaknesses and strengths and, you know, and failings like anyone else. The fact of the matter is, though, they lie. They lie about if they have a quota they fill, or they just somehow, yes, they do stake out places. They stake out places you wouldn't believe. I was arrested 2 years ago, and if I tell you the conditions and what I was charged with, it's laughable. It was dismissed. It took me 2 years of fighting it to get it dismissed.
Can you briefly tell us? Because I gotta take this
other
call.
Yeah, I was basically riding my bicycle, mm-hmm. not motorcycle, bicycle. At 11:30 at night in my own neighborhood. Now, I'm 60. I look younger, but I'm 60. I own my own home. I had three kids. I'm a home owner. I'm very well known with some people, with some of the senior guys in the police department. Mm-hmm. And my light in the front was flickering. They were sitting in on the side of a residential area where you might see one car every hour. I mean, very quiet place. But they're just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And the moment they saw me, they pulled me over with such venom that I almost flew over the hood of the car when they ran up to me with their black and white.
Mm-hmm.
They went through everything I had. It was summertime. I had just my clothes, no bags, no smash and grab, but in my pocket, because the coyotes come out in my neighborhood sometimes, I have a baton that I use as a prod,
yeah.
Which I'm also licensed because I used to train the police, as a matter of fact. And they said, you know, what are you doing with this? I gave them my credentials. I gave them phone numbers of senior officers. They wouldn't make the call. They said, how do you know guys like that? And they laughed. They busted me. This is how funny it was. Felony possession, manufacturing and sales of dangerous weapons.
Oh, yeah, they want to throw that in the sales, manufacturing.
You know, I had $2 in my pocket. My home was one block away, mm-hmm. you know, and ultimately it was thrown out. But they said, they also said that I went for a weapon when they pulled me over.
Yeah.
The judge almost laughed that out of court because had I went for a weapon, they would have shot me, you know.
Now, what about, back to the story that we're talking about, Fred Willard. You just you tend to believe what he's saying because of the biases that the police have.
If he was in that room and for whatever reason, you know, they could have just watched him move uncomfortably. They're looking to bust somebody. They're not there watching a movie. They're looking to take somebody to jail.
Yeah. They don't want to waste their time in there. So let's get someone out of here, and then we can say we did our deal.
And you said one quick thing, and I'll be done. You said that, you know, an innocent pornography watcher. Right now, there's no law against pornography.
Right. Yeah.
So whatever it is, and right down the street, somebody's probably doing a liquor store holdup.
Yeah, exactly.
They're watching,
now,
you know.
I wouldn't mind living in a world where pornography is illegal. It wouldn't bother me at all. But it's because it isn't illegal. Leave those people alone. And why are you trying to protect them and have a safe, a wholesome pornography experience?
Because everybody's an individual, and individual police will act toward, where they perceive a perpetrator, you know, their own way.
No, I get it. Thanks for your call, Joey. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Wow, who knew Barely Legal would get this intense. The point he makes, though, well taken. The police are human. The weird thing is, like, just making that theater, the police going in there to make that theater safe, a safe and wholesome environment for people to watch pornography in. Unbelievable. But I get it. Get rid of the pornography theater by going in there and arresting people for doing stuff that's illegal. That's all anybody goes in there for, though, I will tell you. And then Pee Wee Herman. I said, well, I thought Pee Wee Herman was gay. Why would he go in the theater and watch heterosexual pornography? Because that's probably what's in this place, too. Well, they look at each other. I mean, it's seedy. Seedy stuff. Something's wrong. But Fred Willard, 70s. Jeez. How can we judge this 70-year-old guy with his 40-year marriage? And then how much professionalism has that guy displayed in his acting career? And people like ABC are going to just fall in line and fire him. Fire him for being arrested and charged, yet not convicted. It's just weird to me. Celebrities, you've got celebrities that are supposedly against these puritanical reactionary events. You got Ed Helms, Lindsay Lohan, Miley Cyrus boycotting Chick-fil-A because of their family value stance. And Chick-fil-A's CEO, Dan Cathy, who dares to donate money to political causes of his choice. And they're saying, well, no, that's, you can't do that because I disagree with your values. They're too puritanical. Yet here's Hollywood firing a guy supposedly innocent until proven guilty for something, for puritanical reasons. So why doesn't Ed Helms, Miley Cyrus, and Lindsay Lohan boycott ABC and PBS? That's what I want to know. Come, let's give Fred Willard a break, please. If you want to see some good Fred Willard stuff, it's all good, but the best is a show called Fernwood Tonight, where he was a recurring guest star as the co-host of a show called Fernwood. No, it started on Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. First you go back to Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. And then they had a spinoff called Fernwood Tonight. He was a co-host with Martin Mull. Then after a while, it moves from Fernwood, Ohio. It's a mock talk show. It moves to Alta Loma or Alta something, California, 50 miles north of Los Angeles or 100 miles, something like that. I forgot. Anyways, this is unbelievable stuff. So good. So ahead of its time. In the 70s, it was on. It was stripped, syndicated, half-hour comedy, mock talk show. Complete phony talk show. Unbelievable. Fred Willard. Check that out. You find it on YouTube. You kids know how to do that. Fernwood Tonight, or America Tonight, with Martin Mull and Fred Willard. I think we've done enough today. I think our work is done. Joe Escalante signing off the Barely Legal Radio program. Go to, what is it called? iTunes. Get the podcast. Listen to them. Subscribe. That would be cool. When you go to LegalZoom, the great sponsor of this program, make sure you click over from joeescalante.com. Click one of the banners there, and you go over there and you buy your stuff. Then they know that we're, someone's listening to the show. Stay on the air longer. All that kind of stuff. Twitter at Joe Escalante. Facebook, Barely Legal Radio with Joe Escalante, and we will be back next week, and I will now leave you with just a taste of the greatest song ever written.